Now, this week's show is all about the science of the Olympics and the science of sport, and we've seen news stories in previous Olympic tournaments where athletes have been caught using performance-enhancing drugs like steroids, for example, to increase their chances of winning. But how much of a boost is this really going to give them? Well, we've got Dr. Chris Cooper here from the University of Essex. He's going to tell us a bit more. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
So what's all this about? What sorts of things do people jam into themselves in order to boost their performance?
Well, all sorts of things. If you look at what Dwayne Chambers, the sort of current hot topic, he was taking at least 7 or 8 compounds. He was taking insulin, which diabetics take. He was taking testosterone. He was taking this thing called the Clear, which is this magic compound developed in San Francisco to not be detected by the drug detection agencies. He was taking thyroid hormone precursors. So they take all sorts of things, some of which work and some of which I think may or may not work.
So if I wanted to performance enhance myself, what agents would work in me? Me as in the role, right. Me, I suppose. Anybody.
So I think, if you're unfit, lots of things will work, actually. The difficulty is if you're the super elite athlete. There are 3 general classes of performance-enhancing drugs. There's the anabolic steroids that you've probably heard of, the things that build up your muscle mass. There's the things that boost your aerobic sport. So the steroids help you for strength events. The compounds that help you in aerobic sports increase the amount of oxygen you can deliver, basically increase the number of red blood cells in your body. And then there's the stimulants, things like amphetamines, cocaine, modafinil, which is a sort of another very trendy drug. And those are a bit less clear whether they work or not.
I think they're more of a psychological effect, because a lot of people say that a lot of winning a race is 90% psychology, don't they?
Yeah, they are a psychological effect. Of course, psychology is just a branch of biochemistry. I'm a biochemist, so they're neuropsychology. But yes, whether the drug is directly working on the brain or the fact the athlete thinks they're getting an edge is an interesting question.
You think it might give them a sort of psychological angle, because an advantage, so they think they feel more confident, because winners win races, don't they? I mean, there's this sort of winning streak phenomenon where people feel a confidence boost because they win once and this makes them win again.
Sure. I mean, there's clearly examples of people being given placebos, even in the Tour de France, which is sort of the drug cocktail par excellence. Some of the people have said, well, I just didn't want to give him this super cocktail of stimulants, and they gave him a sugar solution and he won the race. So it's a combination of things, really, yeah.
But looking at the agents that you can put into your body, at the biochemical level, how do they actually work?
Well, there's been a lot of work on this recently, sort of an ongoing area. The steroids, the anabolic steroids, it seems that they work by increasing your ability to improve your muscle mass after you've done the exercise. So they used to be thought they let you exercise longer and harder when you're doing your weights, but now it's just thought they mostly work on the remodeling after the exercise. That's probably how the steroids work. The compounds that increase your oxygen capacity work by increasing your amount of your erythropoietin, and this is what's called EPO, and that controls your number of red blood cells. So you just basically increase your number of red blood cells.
And if you go and do what some people used to do, which is run up a mountain, so that you have altitude training on your side, how does that work? Is that particularly the same phenomenon?
Yeah, the key is not to run up the mountain, right? It's just to go up the mountain and don't run there. So you go to the mountain, and when you're there, your body adapts to having a lower oxygen, because there's less oxygen up a mountain, and it makes more red blood cells. The problem with that is you can't train so well up the mountain. So the current idea is called live high, train low. You go up the mountain on a cable car, live there, and come down to the bottom for your training.
I did read somewhere someone had bought the equivalent of sort of oxygen tent for their bed so that they could simulate oxygen levels at, say, halfway up Everest for sleeping. And then they would, of course, get out of their bed during the day and exercise at sea level. And this was supposed to do the same thing as going up a mountain.
Yeah, they're very common, easily bought, not that expensive and not illegal. In the days of the East Germany, they used to have whole gymnasiums that were at low oxygen where athletes just lived.
How can science also help athletes to do things the legitimate way?
Well, at the university, we do a number of things trying to mimic the effects that the drugs might have. I mean, there are things like trying to hyperventilate before you exercise, which changes your blood pH and means you can run 400 metres better. That's a sort of extreme version, which is quite difficult to do. Other things to try and get you stimulated as equivalent to taking a stimulant. So you're trying to train to have the same chemical effect. And then there are legal drugs that you can add.
Tell us a bit more about that. So if I was to start training now, what would be a sort of a good regimen for me, and what sorts of equipment could I use to make sure that I was effectively training the most efficiently?
Well, it would just depend completely on what sport you were going to do. I mean, if you were going to be a Paula Radcliffe, or if you were going to be a Linford Christie, what you would do would depend completely on that. If you were doing a power event, you'd be in the gym most of the time, especially in the off-season, in the winter. If you were doing the long-distance event, you'd be running long distances, by and large. And then, of course, you'd have the nutritional team and the sports science team there working as well.